Brethren, when you stand for the Word of God in truth, you've got the Holy Ghost backing you up. You've got the Holy Ghost backing you up. And it doesn't matter, as long as you and I stay in the will of God for what His purposes are, you can't go wrong. No matter what may happen, you understand what I'm saying? You're on solid footing. Psalm 23, and again, we want to get the context. So verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Now tonight, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done and are doing. Lord, help us, dear God, to fight the good fight, to keep going, encourage and strengthen and help one another. Father, pray bless our time tonight. Guide us out of Thy word, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. All right. Psalm 23. You know, this psalm, through the ages, has been a help to so many people in so many ways. It's been a help to dying folks. It's been a help to living folks. It's been a help to sick folks. It's been a help to so many people in so many ways, because we, especially if we're saved, we are sheep in God's pasture. But notice tonight, the psalmist David says here in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. All right, I want to break it down and look at it. Notice the first thing he says, yea. Yea. That word, yea, means yes. It's a word in the dictionary that expresses affirmation or assent. It sometimes introduces a subject with the sense of indeed, verily, truly, it is so. Yea, though I walk. In other words, yes, we will walk through the valley. The importance of that word yea right there, it sets off the whole rest of this part of this sentence here. Yea, though I walk. In other words, I will walk through the valley. And folks, there it is. You and I, if we follow the good shepherd, he is going to lead us at times through the valley. He is going to lead us through the valley. Because look at what verse said previously. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But look where those paths of righteousness often lead. In the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we'll get to that shadow of death part. But first, just the valley. Yea, we will walk through these places. Through these valleys. Because he is leading. And we are following. And our good shepherd. These are parts of the paths of righteousness he leads in. Take your Bible. Go to Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah 2. He is going to lead us at times into the valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So that word yea means it will happen. It's a given. It's a given. Indeed, verily, it is so. It will be so. We will walk through the valley. Why? Because we're following him. And sometimes he will lead through the valley. Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah 2 and verse number 6. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? Hey, how did they get in a wilderness, deserts, pits, drought, shadow of death? Lord is leading them there. You ever said something said, this is the pits? Sometimes God leads through the pits. Sometimes God leads through the pits. And you got to understand that. And you are safer off following Jesus through the droughts and through the pits than you are trying to climb up on top of a mountain without him. Do you understand me? Listen, that means sometimes he's going to, as you're following Jesus, there's going to be a drought. We got this idea it's supposed to always be just everything, just always on that mountaintop, rejoicing, kicking it up. And no, he will lead sometimes through times of drought. Amen. to increase our faith and grow us. The key is, it's because you're following him. Now, if you're going through a time of drought because of rebellion or sin or not following, okay, you need to correct that. But if you're following him, sometimes he will lead through dry times, through times of drought, through wilderness times, through deserts, through pits, a land of pits. Sometimes you go through some things, you're like, man, this is the pits. And he led you there. And it's safe and good to be there because he led you. It's not enjoyable. Flesh don't like it. Why? If the Lord had led him the way of the Philistines, that was a closer way. But the Lord said, you ain't ready for that yet. He said, you'll see war and you might turn back. Hey, later on they're going to see war, but they'll be ready for it. And guess what? The Lord knew the condition they were in. If they saw war too early, they'd turn back. But when they did turn back, there was no excuse for it. He had prepared them. He had got them ready. They had grown. They had matured. There was no sense in it. But tell you, brother, when you follow the Lord, he's not going to lead you in any ways that you can't make it through with his grace and with his help. You understand? He will not lead you in any way. It'll be pits. It may be heat. It may be drought. It may be a wilderness. But you can make it through if you'll follow him. And that means going through and keeping your eyes on him and following him. Go to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Man, this cockeyed idea that you follow the Lord and everything's supposed to just be, you know, just smooth sailing without every kind. Listen, you can have an inward peace. You can have inward peace. But man, God, he will lead you sometimes through these kind of areas to grow us, to mature us, to purge us, to cleanse us, to get us ready for the other side. He'll lead in those ways. But your flesh don't like it, never will like it. Deuteronomy 8, look at verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness. Through that land, that great and terrible. Brother, you know what? Sometimes he will lead you through the wilderness, and it will be a great and terrible wilderness. Those aren't nice words. A great wilderness. We're not talking about a little patch of woods. That wouldn't be too bad, would it? Wouldn't be too bad if it's a little patch of woods. Or wouldn't be too bad if it's a little bit of area there. And the wilderness there is a desert kind of area. Wouldn't be bad if it's a little bit where you could see through the other side of it. I mean, like it sometimes. It's great. It's vast. And it's terrible sometimes. Sometimes it's terrible. What do you do? Keep walking. Keep following. Keep on. If he led you there, then you're fine there. If he led you there, you're fine. Just keep following. That great and terrible wilderness where we're in were fiery serpents and scorpions. Jesus. And Jesus and the Lord led him there. The Lord and that pillar of fire and that cloud and by his spirit, he led them in an area of scorpions and fiery serpents. Wow. Led him right there through. And you know what? The Lord is going to lead you and me sometimes to where those powers of darkness are going to assail you. Man, they're going to come on you. And God's going to lead you right in the midst of them. And then the battle's going to be on. And you know what you better do? You better armor up. Yes, and keep walking. John Bunyan understood it. Pilgrim's Progress, man, there'd be times in Pilgrim's Progress, he's walking, can't see, and I mean these voices are screaming at him, and they're just trying, he's got to keep walking, Bunyan understood it. He understood it. And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, look where the Lord is leading them. And brethren, you and I have got to understand that. New converts need to understand that. They need to understand that. You know, at first, God will take and he knows he won't lead them by the way of the Philistines. That was shorter because he lives since the war. But there's going to come a time. There's going to come a point. The Lord says, okay, now. You've learned a little something. You've sit under something. Y'all know a little something. All right, we'll up it up now a little bit. You follow me. But it ain't going to be what you think. You just keep following. And it'll grow us. And it'll strengthen us. And it'll help us. But he's going to lead sometimes scorpions, fiery serpents. It's like, Lord, you're leading us here? Yes, indeed, I'm leading you there.
But Lord,
you're fine. Just follow me. Keep your eyes on me and follow me. You're fine. You're fine. But can you imagine looking and seeing them scorpions? Can you imagine seeing them fiery serpents?
Why, our youngest.
Just keep following me. Just keep following me. As long as they follow the Lord, they're fine. When they got rebellious, well, those fiery serpents were allowed to touch them. Whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes. Listen, as long as they took and followed the Lord, they're okay. Listen, those sheep, as long as they follow that shepherd, they're okay. As long as we follow the good shepherd, we're all right. We're all right. Look what else was there. Drought, where there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Brethren, God, listen, brethren, when God strengthens you and he gives you faith, he wants that faith to grow. And in order for that faith to grow, God let you and I go through some things sometimes to where it seems there is no way out, and how in the world, and he comes through in a way you never expect. Then the water came from the water from the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good in thy latter end. Hey, you know what? God's leading you, the Lord's leading you in ways now so he can do you good at your latter end. The Lord wants something good for you and me in eternity. See, the Lord don't think like we do. He's not just thinking here. He's thinking the other side. He's thinking eternity. And the Lord is doing things that if we'll just keep going, he wants to do us good at our latter end. Never forget that. When the devil says, what kind of God is that? He don't care. You remember, he's wanting to do me good in my latter end. That's why he's leading me here. That's why he's leading me in areas of pits and areas of drought and areas of wilderness and fiery serpents and scorpions and all that stuff. He wants to do me good in my latter end. Take your Bible, go to Acts 14. Yea, though I walk. Yea, verily, it is so, it is true, affirmative, you will. You and I will walk through valleys if we follow the Lord. And that's fine. See, as long as you're following him and he's leading there, that's fine. It's fine. Acts 14. Verse 22, Acts 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Paul didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't pretend to them. He said, fellas, we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Things are going to arise. But listen, but they don't have to touch you. They don't have to affect you. Jesus said, look, in the world you shall have tribulation. He said, you're going to. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Take your Bible, go to Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Verse 29. Philippians 1, verse 29. Philippians 1, 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now that's what's given us. See, oh, we don't always quote that. Everybody's talking about believing on the Lord. Of course, you got to be saved. But it's also given us not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. The key of it is it being for his sake. So, listen, yea, though I walk. All right? So the thing is not that we walk through the valley. It's that we walk through it because we're following him. All right? Now, what does the next thing say in Psalm 23? What does it next say? Yea, though I walk. Yea, though I walk. Did you get it? Not run through, walk through it. You see, we want to run through the valley, but you've got to walk through it. Why? Because he's leading. And if you run, you will get ahead of him and get hurt or lose your way. Yea, though I walk through the valley. You know what we want to do? I'm on now. When we go through them valley times, we want to run. Get this thing over with. Let me get it done. Let me get out of this thing. Let me get through this thing. Whoa now. If you run, you're going to get ahead of him. Whoa, okay, but I'm through it. No, you won't. He's leading. And he knows where there's ledges, and he knows where there's snares, some things will trip you up. He knows where there's danger spots at. He knows. He's tried that way before. Follow him. You got to go at his pace. Yea, though I walk through the valley, David says.
Why does he walk?
Because he's following his shepherd. And his shepherd is leading at that pace. You got to walk it. You can't run it. Because if you run, you're going to run ahead and get hurt. And you're not. And if you run ahead, you're not going to learn from the valley what you need to learn. You know what we want? We want to get through the valley. We want it done. We want it over with. Let me sprint through this thing. Let me get it done. Lord says, no, you got to walk it at my pace. I'm leading. And if you run, you're going to get ahead of me and you're going to get hurt. And you're not going to learn what the valley's for. So you got to walk. You know what? There ain't a one of us in this room that don't need to learn that lesson. Because you know what? We fret and we fritter and we get like, and we want to see progress. We want it done. We want to get through this thing. Tired of it. We're like that, brethren. We're like that. We get antsy. We get jittery. We get like, and we get, slow down. You want to follow the Lord? Yes. Well, you got to walk this thing. You got to walk this thing with Him leading so you can learn what He wants you to learn. And if you get ahead, you're going to get in a mess, and guess what you're going to be? You're going to be that sheep going, ah, ah, ah. And He's got to rescue you because you got in trouble. You got in a mess, and you got yourself in a fix. Stay back there and walk it. You got to walk it. Walk through it with Him. There are things to learn. It is safer in the valley with Him than it is on the mountain without Him. You understand that? It is safer in the valley with Him than it is on the mountain without Him. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walk with Him. And when He leads into that area of droughts and pits and wilderness and scorpions and fiery serpents and valleys, just walk it. Just walk it. Just walk it. And though you'd like to run through it and get it over with, walk it. Walk it. Walk it. Go at His pace and learn. Learn. Learn what He wants you to learn from the valley. All right, look what He says, Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk, hey, through the valley. Now there's a blessing, not just in it, but through it. The good shepherd that led you in it will lead you through it and out of it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, brethren, that verse is just pregnant with good stuff. It is. Yea, though I walk through the valley. He's not bringing you in the valley just to leave you there. Yea, though I walk through the valley. You follow Him, you walk it, you can know He's going to lead you through it. You might not know how long it is, you might not know when, just keep walking. Keep strolling, keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. He's going to lead you through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Listen, go to Deuteronomy 6. Brethren, give God the credit for having at least a little bit more sense than we do. Give God the credit of having at least a little more sense than we got. So, preacher, what do you mean? Let me ask you, would you take and bring somebody out of something and then just drop them? You wouldn't do that. Do you take your children and just do things just to do it? No, you've got purpose in it. You've got purpose. And the Lord does that. Listen, look at Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 23. And He brought us out from thence, that He might bring us in to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. Listen, the God that brought you out is going to bring you in. You see, Israel got, Lord, you dropped us. You forgot us. I mean, it's like, come on, Israel. Give God the credit for at least having a little more sense than y'all got, huh? I mean, would y'all do somebody that way? Would you rescue somebody, bring them out of bondage, lead them and then drop them there in the wilderness? Well, maybe you would, but God's not. He brought us out to bring us in. And when those thoughts hit you at times that God's forgot about you, it's all over, you must have upset Him, He's just departed from you, keep walking, keep walking. He's going to see you through it. He brought you out to bring you in. He that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. You'll just keep walking, keep walking, keep going. Look what it says, Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not death, but the shadow of death. the shadow of death. You know what the word shadow means? It means shade within defined limits. Amen. Shade within defined limits. I like that. It just helps me. It just helps me. You see, listen, that means defined limits. That means that thing is not just an amorphous blob of something. No, it's got defined limits and borders to it. You understand? That thing's not just something that's going to always be. It's defined borders, limits, okay? It's not just something that's uncontrollably happening. Yea, through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, it's not death for you, just a shadow of it, if you'll just keep following the shepherd. It's not the shadow of death, but if you get ahead or away out of the shadow, it may result in death. Take your Bible, go to Job 36. Job 36. Job 36. Job 36, verse 18. Job done good, but he started justifying himself. And you know what happened? You know what happened? His friends caused it to happen, really. So what do you mean, preacher? Well, Job been doing pretty good. And then Job's friends started falsely accusing him. And you know what we do when somebody accuses us? We bow up. We try to show them it ain't so. And what they did was they set a trap for Job and they provoked Job into justifying himself and saying, I ain't done that. This is what I've done for God. This is what I've done. And Elihu and the Lord said, Job, now you're messing it up. He started justifying himself instead of God. He started trying to explain to the Lord why this shouldn't be happening to him. That no, he hadn't done. And Job, this wasn't chastisement, but it was getting ready to turn into it because of his attitude. Did you know something? A trial may not be chastisement. It can turn into it based on our attitude. And did you know that if something is chastisement, attitude can turn the thing around? When we'll humble ourselves and get a thing, but attitude can turn it into chastisement. I'm telling you, brethren, the Lord weigheth the spirits, the Bible says. And our attitude through something weighs so much with the Almighty. Look here, Job 36, verse 18. Elihu tells him, because there is wrath. See, now, it wasn't wrath starting out. Job wasn't under any wrath starting out. The Lord's just letting him go through this. In fact, the Lord pointed him out to the devil. But his attitude caused it to turn into something different. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Elihu tried to warn him, Job, you're getting ready to cross the line, bud. You're crossing the line, Job. You're crossing the line. Job, you're hurting, you're confused, that's all fine. But Job, you're trying to tell the Lord now why this shouldn't happen to you and all the good you've done. Job, you're talking about Job and not God. God don't give account of his matters, Job. And the Lord, when the Lord appears to Job, he says, Job, stand up. Gird your loins like a man. Stand up. Job, where was you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job, where was you when? Job, declare if thou hast. I mean, the Lord calls him on the carpet. In other words, he's telling Job, you don't know what you're talking about. And Job, you're questioning me and what I do. Job, you might not understand. But Job, these are my concerns. And Job has tried to justify Job rather than justifying God. And he learns his lesson and he humbles down. Listen, y'all. Listen. Just follow the shepherd. If you get ahead or a way out of the shadow. Look here. What you're going through, the reason I say it, listen. What Job was going through was not for his death. Because you know what did the Lord tell Satan? First he said, don't touch his body. Then the second time he says, okay, you can touch his body, you can't kill him. But by the time that thing pulls around to where Elihu is counseling him, Job has started justifying himself, and Elihu warns him, Job, you're getting ready to put God possibly take you out. Job, you're just about where God's about to take you out. And Elihu is the only one of those friends that didn't get rebuked by the Lord. He's the only one of those friends that didn't rebuke because his counsel was correct. And the Lord comes and backs it up. So listen, at first it was just a shadow. What Job thought was death, and you can imagine, boils from your head to your feet. Son, that feels like death. That feels like a living death, no doubt. But it wasn't death. While the Lord had told Satan, you can't kill him. It was just a shadow of it. But Job's attitude changed, and that thing was about ready to be death. Y'all look here. When the Lord brings you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you may think this thing's about to kill me. This thing's about to kill me. This thing's about to kill me. It's the shadow of it. But if you get ahead, or if you get out of the will of the Lord, or you quit, it might turn into death. The valley of the shadow of death. It wasn't death, it was a shadow of it. But you run ahead, you get out of the thing, out of the shadow, and it might very well be death. Now listen, even when the valley does involve death, for the believer, it's just a shadow of it, and the Lord's walking you through it. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, look at verse 54. See, even when it does involve death, that day when it comes to depart this life, why? For the believer, it's just a shadow. It's just a shadow of it. And the Lord's walking you through it. 1 Corinthians 15, if you're following, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what a blessing for a saint of God to approach bona fide death, all right, and realize, you ain't got no sting. You've lost your sting. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? There's thy sting. It's gone. Oh, I'm going to have to deal with you. But the sting is gone. The victory's gone. My daddy gave his testimony after he had a heart attack and about died. And he had it in the doctor's office, and they got right to him, and he didn't die. And my daddy gave his testimony when he was in Korean War. He said one night they were walking those mortar rounds in, and he was in his foxhole, and he said, I was scared to death. He said he was lost. He knew if he'd died, he'd gone to hell. And he was walking those mortar rounds in, and he said he felt like a caged animal in that foxhole, scared to death. But when he got back from Korea, he got saved. And he said, you know, when I had that heart attack at that doctor's office, I realized I am dying. I'm getting ready to pull out of here. He said, but the only thought going through my mind was, what's it going to be like when I cross over? And that's the difference between before salvation and after salvation. He was facing death, but the sting was gone. The sting was gone. Oh, death, where's that sting? I tell you where it went, into Christ. That's why it's gone. You know that bee, once a honeybee stings you, that sting's gone. Oh, grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Go to Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Verse 21, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, you can't really lose there, can you? If to live is Christ and to die is gain, well, you got it licked. Go to Romans 8. We're familiar with it, but let's look at it because it fits right now. Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? In other words, you will go through tribulation. You will go through distress. Or persecution, there will be persecution at times. Or famine, there may be famine. Or nakedness, there may be nakedness. Or peril, there may be peril. Or sword, there may be sword. But it can't separate you from the love of Christ. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, you just can't beat that with a stick, buddy. You got it licked. More than conquerors. You've heard me before, and you know yourself. You can read stories of men who are lost, and sheer resilience and will got them through bad circumstances. They're lost. They don't know the Lord, but they made it through. You ever read about Rocky Versace in Vietnam or Lance Saigon or just others, man? They just sheer will and resilience got them through. They weren't saved. That's my knowledge, they weren't, but they made it through. But you see, as a believer, you don't just make it through things. You're more than conquerors. God has a divine purpose he's working with you. Do you understand that? See, someone's lost. They may through sheer force of will and character, they make it through that thing. But they don't know God. If they died, they'd go to hell. They don't know the Lord. The Lord's not working in their life. They don't belong to Him. But for the believer, when he goes through something, he didn't just overcome it. He's not just conquer. God is working something for that person's eternal benefit, for God's honor and glory, for His purposes. We're more than conquerors. You don't just make it through something. There's a divine will and purpose working for God's glory and your ultimate benefit as a believer. All right, so look here. Go back to Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now I want you to remember something. I want you to remember something. You can't have a shadow without light. Can't have a shadow without light. So if there's a shadow, there's some light somewhere there. Now, notice something, though. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We got to think about something there. Got to think about it a minute. Because that's a valley, right? Now, they're in the valley. We know that. But, so what causes a shadow in the valley? Well, the mountain. The mountain. You know, sometimes when you drive up 77 through West Virginia on the way to Ohio, honestly, it almost feels like that they only get sunshine for a little bit of time. I mean, I'm serious. If you've ever gone through there, it's like great day in the morning, man, because you are surrounded by mountains and you're driving through a valley and it's like, wow, I just get a little sunlight a little bit during the day. Because when you're in a valley, what is causing the shadow? What's blocking the sun? Well, the mountain is. The mountain. You see, the valley's not death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. Well, so what's causing the shadow? The mountain is. Listen to me good. So the mountain is death. It casts its shadow over the valley. The valley isn't death, but the mountain may be. Follow the shepherd. He knows when the valley is safe and he knows when the mountain is safe. Mountaintops are good, but they may be death traps. The shepherd knows when the valley is safest. The mountain may be enjoyable, but the valley has still waters and pasturage. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What causes the shadow in the valley? The mountain does. The mountain does. So it's the valley of the shadow. So the shadow's not death. The valley's not death. What caused the shadow? The shadow of death. That mountain caused it. That mountain causes that shadow. You follow the Lord, and when He takes you to the valley, it's because the mountain is liable to be a place of death for you. You may want to be on it. You may think it would be good. But it's liable to be death. If He's leading through the valley, it's because it's where you need to be, and it's safe. It's safe. It's safe. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You see, though the shepherd leads through the valley, listen, because it is best and has its advantages, there's still danger. Because there are other animals there also seeking the advantage of the valley. I mean, think about it. Down that valley, there's water. There's a little more pasturage there. So it's safe as long as you're following the shepherd, but it doesn't mean that there still won't be evil to be encountered. There will be. There will be. But you don't have to fear it. Because you're walking with Him. You follow Him. Listen, the sheep don't have to fear, though, as long as they're following the shepherd. As long as they're following the shepherd, they don't have to fear. It's safe. They're in the valley, but there's still going to be trouble even in the valley. There'll be danger. There's still evil in the valley. But you don't have to fear it. You're following the shepherd. Go to Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes 10. Verse 8. Just keep following. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 8. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh an hedge, serpent shall bite him. Don't break that hedge of the will of God. Go to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 7. The Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but power, of love and of a sound mind. So any kind of spirit of fear ain't coming from God. Any kind of spirit that I have of not of love is not coming from God. Any kind of spirit that gets you to where your thinking is not sound, it's not coming from God. So you can identify that thing and say, I reject that. I'm not giving in to this. I'm not brooding on this. I'm not giving place to this because this ain't coming from God. God's not the author of confusion. And something that's given me not a good soundness of mind or that's causing fear or producing something that's not of love, that ain't coming from the Lord. Listen, you can know this. Any spirit that causes you to snap or bite at your husband, your wife, or your kids, that ain't coming from God. Lord didn't tell you to do that. So you know what you can do? You can reject that thing. And say, that ain't coming from God, and I ain't yielding to that. Any kind of spirit that's causing you to be fearful and paranoid, you can say, I know that ain't coming from God, so I'm not going to brood on it. I'm not going to give place to it. Any kind of spirit that causes your behavior to where you're not, that's just not sound, that's just not good. You reject that thing. You can know that's not coming from God. Go to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 18. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Boy, that's a truth. Fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So, okay, so here we go. So, perfect love casts out fear. So, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So, if you want fear cast out, you've got to have a perfected love. Well, how do you perfect your love? How is love perfected? Go to 1 John 2, verse 5. Because perfect love casts out fear. If you can get a perfected love, it'll go a long way in casting out fear. 1 John 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk. Hey, remember walking through the valley? Walk even as he walked. Follow your Savior. Follow the Lord Jesus. Learn about him. If you're saved, let the Spirit of God transform you into the same image, even from glory to glory, as you see Christ. And if the Holy Ghost abides within you, he will transform you into that same image. He will, through his power, enable you to walk as Christ walked, to be as he was. He'll do that. But you've got to study about him. You've got to read about him. You've got to meditate on him. You must make much of Jesus. Amen. Brethren, we must make much of Jesus. Brethren, I wouldn't give you a dime for Bible knowledge that doesn't help somebody get closer to walk with the Lord. I wouldn't give you nothing for it. I wouldn't give you nothing for Bible facts and knowledge that doesn't help somebody get closer to Jesus. Make much of the blessed Lord Jesus. That's why we should sing about him and exalt him and praise him and learn about him. Look, see Christ, learn about him, meditate on him, make much of your Savior. And as you see him, if God abides within you, he will transform you into that same image. He will do that. And you know something? As you walk as he walked, as you keep the word of God, the love of God will be perfected in your life. And you know what that does? It casts out fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. We just read that. Well, how do you get a perfect love? You keep his word. That's what it says. And perfect love then casts out fear. All right? Now, look here. Brethren, there is evil. There is trouble. There is danger. There is opposition out there. As you're going through the valley even. But follow the good shepherd and you don't have to fear it. Listen. There's enough out there in one day to just about unnerve you. If you pick up your news, I'm serious, international, national, and state, and if you hear everything that goes on around you and all the different things that are falling to pieces and apart and all the different things that you're not supposed to eat and you shouldn't eat and you're not supposed to drink and the clothes that are going to give you cancer. I mean, seriously, you know what I'm talking about. It gets more and more and more. There's enough stuff to get your mind on that it'd take any little bit of mind you got left away from you. You must keep your sights on the Good Shepherd. Because if you don't, you will fear evil. you will fear evil. The devil and this world, and sadly even some ministries, major on fear-mongering. Now, the holy fear from the Lord, that's a righteous kind of thing. But, brethren, the Lord, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He didn't say there won't be evil. He didn't say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's no evil here. That's not what he said. He said, I'll fear no evil. There will be wolves. There will be lions. There'll be other things. They want the advantages of the valley too. But in following the shepherd, safe. You don't have to fear. If you'll keep your eyes on the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, if you don't, if you make more of the media, if you listen more to the news, I didn't say you can't listen to the news, but I said if you listen more to it and more to all the warnings about this, the warnings about that, you're going to have your joy robbed. And fears will start to overcome you. Look to the Good Shepherd. See Him out of His Word. Keep His Word. Obey His Word. See Christ. Walk after Him. I don't care what other Christians do. Be what Christ would have you to be. Walk as Christ would have you to do. Have the attitudes He would have you to have. And you know what? It'll tend to squash fear. Look here. Two real quick things I want to say about shadows also. Shadows are just about every time bigger than the actual thing. Shadows are usually bigger than the actual thing. Remember that. Because almost everything that shakes you up is a shadow. And the real thing ain't usually as bad as the shadow was. Hey, the shadow of that meeting coming up. The shadow of that thing that you got to confront. The shadow of that visit. I'm telling you. Most times the shadow of that thing's got you, that thing's hovering over you. But I'll be. When you get to the thing itself, it might not be the most pleasant thing, but so often it wasn't as bad as the shadow was. Seriously. Have not we found in our life, even as a youngin', well, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was the shadow. That shadow was putting a hurt on you. That shadow was putting a scare on you. That shadow was hovering up there. And a lot of times you're like, that little thing caused that big? Well, I'll be. You know Isaiah 14, what they're going to say about the devil, the Bible says in Isaiah 14, is this the one? He's the one that caused nations. He's the one that comes. Read Isaiah 14 about it. Rather than the shadow is most of the time, just about every time, bigger than the actual thing. So remember that. If you ain't confronted something yet, but the shadow of it's hovering over you, something that's up ahead, the shadow of it, just remember, the shadow's usually, almost every time, if not every time, bigger than the actual thing. The other thing real quick is, shadows can't hurt you. Shadows can't hurt you. But also, I got this thing looming over me. Think about the words we use. I got this thing looming over me. I just got this. Well, but you ain't there yet. You're okay right now. The shadow of a tree never hurts you. Now, you hit your head over the tree, you're going to hurt. Okay. But the shadow never hurts you. And you need to remember that. If it's just that thing looming over you, it's just a shadow, bigger than what a thing really probably is, and it can't hurt you. Finally, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Well, man, that just sums it up. That's the key to it all. The abiding presence of the Good Shepherd. That's it. The abiding presence of the Good Shepherd. Thou art with me. Look here. Maybe sometimes around a curve, one of them sheeps is... I know that ain't right word. But you don't say it. One of them sheep in the back there, when they round a curve, might not be able to see the shepherd no more. But he can just keep following the one in front of him, the following one, and he knows he's up there. He's up there. Because everybody's still following the line, and they're still following. And sometimes, listen, you might not sense or see it, sense his presence, but you know by his word he's there. I will feel no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Real quick. Two passages. Hebrews 13 first. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I think I remember a man in the Bible, a man named David, making a similar statement, kind of boldly. The Lord is my shepherd. It's kind of similar, you know. When David says that, that's a bold boast in the Lord. Why, it's good to boast in the Lord. The Bible says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He says it boldly. You know what? We're to boldly say, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. There you go. There you go. That boldness. Just like boldly coming to the throne. Listen, see, there's a holy boldness that the believer can have that God wants you and I to have to storm against those kind of things and take your stand and say, the Lord's my helper. He's mine. I'll not fear. He's my shepherd. You know what the devil wants to major in? You want to major in with us? He wants to produce a state of timidity. Never arrogance. Never that. But boldness. You can be humble and bold at the same time. Never arrogance. Never pride. But God wants his young'uns to be bold and say, my God said this. Unless he shows me where I'm wrong somewhere, and if he is, by the grace of God, I'll correct it. But I'm following him. Here I am, and I trust him. Bold. Not arrogant. The bold. Bold. Once again, Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim's back there just kind of, and that one fellow, great heart, I believe, comes in and says, write my name down. He just believed. Took on his word. David did. He said, the Lord's my shepherd. Bible says, Hebrews 13, the Lord's my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. No matter if I get attacked by fear, I will not. I'm not going to yield to it. I'm not going to give in to it. Because the Lord is my helper. And you stand on those rocks. We sing the songs, don't we? Standing on the promises of Christ, my Lord. Bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily by the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Yes, sir. Seriously, brethren. That's it. Not a thing of just timidly kind of, no, God's looking for that one that says, Lord, you said it. Right. And unless I'm wrong and looking at something wrong, then you'll correct me. Lord, you don't major in confusion or vague stuff. You're a God that shows things, reveals things. And God, you said it. Here I stand. Here we are. That's the thing the Lord's looking for. Not a fear and timid. Never arrogant. Never prideful. Both humility. A holy boldness. Finally, Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. That's a boast of that sheep. The Lord's my shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd. And I hope you say he's yours. You're one of his sheep, one of his flock. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Fear not. For I've redeemed thee. Why, our brother had us sing it tonight. Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Had us sing it tonight. Well, look what it is. I fear not, for I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. He made it personal, and God made it personal to you. When he reached out to you and dealt with you and you responded, it's a personal salvation. When thou passest through the waters, he doesn't say you won't pass through them. He just says, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, he didn't say you won't go through the fire. Oh, you will. He just says, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Well, you see, Brother Dawson, that just applies to Israel. Hush! It's mine too now in Jesus. That's mine too in Jesus. Thy, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Well, sure, it's applying to Israel. I understand that. But come on, man. You can't read that New Testament and not realize it applies to you and me also. In a spiritual sense, that's just as much mine, and it's yours too. So what David give us here in Psalm 23? He says, yea, which means, verily, indeed, it will happen. You will go through the valley. Though I walk, you have to walk it. You can't run through it. Because if you run through it, you're going to get ahead and you'll get yourself in trouble. You have to walk it behind him. Through. You keep going, you come through it. You'll come through it. He's not going to just leave you in it. He'll bring you through it. The valley of the shadow of death. Just a shadow. Just a shadow. Just a shadow. All right? But it's safe with him. I will fear no evil. Evil will be there. You still have to fear it if you're following him. And here's why. The great summation of why. For thou art with me. If you're saved, if you're his, you're his, he's yours. He abides within you. He said, I'll never leave you to forsake you. If you're one of his sheep, and make sure you are, then follow the good shepherd. He's going to lead you to the valley sometimes. Places of pits and droughts and different, there's different things at times. He'll lead through valleys. But it's safe. Just keep following him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord. Lord. My Lord. What time could be spent dissecting just those words in Psalm 23:4 tonight. My, what wonderful, precious Lord, what wonderful truths. What life-altering truths, what comforting truths, what help is contained in those passages, those words of that verse tonight. Lord, indeed, we no doubt just scratched the surface. Father, I pray you'd help us all, help the brethren, help me, help us all, Lord, to just, meditate and chew on, ruminate, since we're talking about sheep, precious Lord. Help us to ruminate on these passages. Give us, Lord, even more than what we've seen tonight. And help us to lay hold to it, claim it to ourselves, and let these words and these principles be a comfort and a strength and a help unto us. And we ask this, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.